morning in the book of Romans, if you'll look there with me. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to read here beginning with verse number 5. We have been in some wonderful days of revival. There have been good things that have taken place. The Spirit of the Lord has been real in these services. We have a lot of folks have been praying and seeking the Lord. Who can tell what God may do, even today? Amen. By the power of His Spirit. Amen. Just a few verses to start with here in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the tomb is the same Spirit that comes and now dwells in the hearts of believers who seek after the Spirit. It's hard for us to even to comprehend that, but that's just what I just read from God's Word. It's the truth. Just want to talk a few minutes about the work of the Spirit in the world. That's not exactly the title, the work of the Holy Spirit, but just expanding it a little bit in the work of the Holy Spirit in our world. The Spirit of God is working and moving. I know this is Labor Day weekend, and interesting that when Labor Day gets here, everybody takes off work. Nobody works on Labor Day, or not very many actually work on Labor Day. It's been an American holiday to honor workers for over 100 years, to honor the working person in our country. You know, work is really important. I'm just talking about work on a human level is an important thing. It's an activity or an energy that's physical or mental. That is done to achieve a particular purpose. There's always a goal in mind, hopefully. If you're at work, you're going to work, you're doing a work, then you have a task that you are assigned to complete. And the same is true of the work of the Spirit of God in these last days, that the Spirit of God was sent into this world for a distinct purpose. And our prayer is, Lord, you accomplish what you want to accomplish in this world. Now, in the work of the ministry or the work of the church, there's an old hymn. It's actually about 200 years old, and I've never sung it, but I've heard it sung. And here's a part of this old hymn. It says, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." Now that's the truth. All is vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. It is all an expending of your energy. It's all human effort. And sad to say that within the confines of the church, it's very easy for it to be just a lot of activity. A lot of human busyness, doing this, doing that, doing this project, involving in a lot of things. And sometimes even our worship is so routine. It's so routine that we just do it because it's the thing to do when we come to church. But it may not include the work of the Spirit of God. All is vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. Unless the Spirit of God is in this place. And when He gets in the worship and He gets in the preaching and He gets in our prayers, and all the effort that we put forth is vain unless the Spirit of God comes down. Amen. So there's a lot of church activities that go on. I mean, people are busy running here and doing this and doing that and lots of activity. But if the Spirit of God is not there, it's vain. It's worthless. It's not going to be able to accomplish anything at all unless there is this wonderful work of the Spirit of God. So no amount of work, no amount of effort will make any eternal difference at all. The church, the New Testament church, really is defined by the fact that the Spirit of God came upon those early disciples and turned those men who were really ignorant, unlearned fishermen, and you know, they didn't necessarily have the qualifications, but it was the Spirit of God that empowered them. It was the Spirit of God that qualified them. It was the Spirit of God that empowered them to do such mighty works. The whole known world was turned upside down by these disciples of Jesus Christ. And the only way to really determine what was going on is that God, by His Spirit, had gotten a hold of the lives of a lot of these people. Amen. And the Spirit, the work of the Spirit of God, was taking place. And that should be what we covet whenever we pray, Lord, send revival. Lord, revive me. Lord, revive our church. Revive our community. We're really inviting the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of God, to come and to take control. Amen. What is the Spirit of God doing in our world today? Are the days of miracles, the days of supernatural acts and mighty power of God, is it all a part of the past? Is it in bygone days? Or can we expect today God to move in wonderful supernatural ways? The answer to that is in God's Word. The answer is absolutely yes. When the Spirit of God comes and begins to work in the lives of people, then great and mighty things God can do, far beyond even our expectation. The miracle working of God's power. Now, the Spirit of God is doing a lot of things in our world, but primarily at the center of what the Spirit of God is doing and wants to accomplish is to bring men to Jesus Christ. Bring people to Jesus Christ. And so all over this world, 7 billion people that inhabit this world, the primary work of the Holy Spirit is in all of these places, some of them dark and difficult to get to, and some of them in impossible situations, but the Spirit of God is not confined or held back, but the Spirit of God is working and moving all over this world. Amen. Thank God for that. And the heart of God is that the Spirit of God would draw them and would bring them to Jesus Christ. That's primarily what the Lord is doing. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 and notice in the second verse of the Bible that the Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God was there. Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The word, the Hebrew word, it just means to brood over. It's like a bird, a chicken, or an eagle, or any kind of a fowl, bird that would sit on its nest to incubate those eggs. And it's the same word, just like a mother hen who broods over her little ones, so was the Holy Spirit working and brooding over creation and over the circumstances of creation. And the Spirit of God continues to do that. I believe that the Spirit of God is brooding over this place today. And He is brooding over many places all across this country where the need is so great. But God wants to move, and He wants to break through the darkness and the hard hearts and to minister to those that are lost and that are in need. Romans 8 and 11 says, if the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit that brought Him out of the tomb, if it dwells in you, and that's why Jesus said, I must go away. And if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come, but I'm going to go away. And He told His disciples, I'm going to leave, but when I do leave, I'm going to send another Comforter. He is going to dwell within you. He's going to dwell within you. He's not going to be just with you. He is going to dwell within you and empower you, the same kind of power that was demonstrated when Jesus was brought out of that tomb. Now that's power. That is mighty power. What is the Holy Spirit doing in these last days? Oh, He's working. He's moving. And He is brooding over the lost condition of a world that's so far away from God. Both words, the Hebrew word and the New Testament Greek word, the Hebrew word is a word rosh, which means motion or force. The Greek word is almost the same. It's the word pneuma, and it just means force or energy or breath, the breath of the Spirit of God. It's really just the power of God, the irresistible power of the Spirit of God that is sent forth to accomplish God's will in this earth. That's why we can't make it without the Holy Spirit. We cannot do anything that will have any eternal consequence except by the power of the Holy Spirit. He told those early disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait. And I know there's a lot of people that would say, well, they were already filled with the Spirit, you know, and they were saved, and so they were filled with the Spirit. Well, they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the fullness of the Spirit that Jesus said you need, the fullness of the Spirit. And so He told those disciples who were probably some of those dedicated people to Jesus in the world at that time, who went everywhere He was going, and He spoke to them, and His last words were, go to Jerusalem, wait there, stay there until you're endued with power from on high. He was just simply saying, you're not going to be able to do what I've called you to do unless you go and you wait and you are filled. And then it was demonstrated as soon as the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Peter's a new kind of a man with a new kind of a message that is so powerful that it penetrates the hard-hearted religious system of that day. They are cut to the heart by the preaching that day of this man, Peter. The Spirit of God made all of the difference. It made all of the difference. And the Spirit of God is at work today in these last days. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would move upon kings and prophets. They would speak for God. They would be used for God. They would be led into battle and given victories by the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, they would win battles with impossible odds. And it was God who was intervening by the power of His Spirit. Sometimes He would pick up a prophet and move him miles and miles away because He wanted to see him to see something, or He wanted him to speak something somewhere else. And so the Spirit of God was actively working even in the Old Testament among the people of God and continues to work. And then when the Scripture was written, divinely inspired or God-breathed, this is a Holy Spirit book. It was divinely inspired and breathed by the Holy Spirit. And prophets spoke and they wrote as the Holy Ghost inspired them. The Holy Ghost gave them the words. They were able to prophesy of things to come. They were able to prophesy with accuracy about events hundreds of years later that was going to take place. Not only that, but God inspired people like Moses. Moses was inspired. He wrote all of the Pentateuch, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He wrote all of those books of the law, and he lived hundreds of years after those events took place. But the Holy Ghost inspired him and gave him an insight into what happened. And he wrote about the creation. He wrote all the stories of the book of Genesis and all the events. And he did it under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So some prophets look forward. Moses was able to see behind and see the details of creation and all of those things. That was the working of the Spirit of God. Amen. This prophecy came in old time, but not by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. So thank God whenever you read the Word of God you have within your hands a Spirit-inspired Word for you for that particular time and that particular day. Praise God. He doesn't dwell with you now, but in the New Testament, He dwells within you. And you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you will be able to do what God has called you to do. The church, regardless of group or fellowship or denomination, really doesn't make any difference. Without the Holy Spirit, that church is greatly handicapped. Cannot accomplish really what God has sent us forth to do. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is the Holy Spirit doing today? Well, there's no more scripture to be written, no more creation necessarily. Many of those things have taken place. As I said earlier, He is primarily working and moving to bring people to Jesus Christ. Praise God. To bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is He at? He's everywhere. As I said, He's brooding over London, Kentucky, and Laurel County, and Southeast Kentucky, because He wants to pour out His Spirit here. He's brooding over the cities of Lexington and Cincinnati and Louisville and on and on. He's brooding over all the major metropolitan areas of our nation where there's all kinds of terrible things. In the city of Chicago, in the month of August, there were 66 people shot in the month of August. Shot down. 12 of them died. 66 people were shot in the city of Chicago. The Spirit of God is brooding over the city of Chicago and over Denver, Colorado, where a father murdered his pregnant wife and two babies. Unspeakable evil that seems to be prevalent in a place like that. But yet the Spirit of God is brooding over Denver, Colorado, and Los Angeles, California, and Washington, D.C. The Spirit of God is brooding over that city, over the executive branch, and over Congress, and over all of those that are making decisions about the future of our country. The Spirit of God wants to move everywhere that He's allowed to move, and He will, in the darkest of places around the world. I was reading about North Korea. I've had a great interest in North Korea, and I've been reading some about the conditions that are there. Something like 25 million people live in that dark, dark place. One of the most secluded regimes in all of the world. Not that many people know what's going on, but you know there are 300,000 Christians in North Korea. That's not a lot compared to the population. It's about a little over 1% of the population. But 300,000 believers are there, and the Spirit of God is brooding over North Korea, dealing with the hearts of people to bring them, finally bring them to a place. I don't know how He's going to open the door. I don't know what's going to happen. I just believe with all of my heart, doors are going to open and the gospel is going to go rushing in to that dark, dark void because the Spirit of God is brooding over it. There are hundreds of thousands of believers in South Korea who fast and pray every day. Some of you read about Prayer Mountain. Hundreds of thousands of people who pray all over South Korea. And their primary prayer is for North Korea. And that's been going on for many, many years. I want you to know that God, by His Holy Spirit, is brooding over North Korea. And there will be an open door, and there will be an opportunity for the gospel to go rushing into that dark place, and the gospel be preached to people that are there, that are hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is brooding over Muslim nations where that people are persecuted just by saying that they're a Christian. In many of these countries, they can't tell anyone that they're a Christian. They can't even tell their children that they're a believer for fear that their own children will be stolen away from them, or that they will be they will face violence or maybe even death. They can't even tell their own family members. They're living under this darkness and this hopelessness. But the Spirit of God is brooding over the Muslim nations of the world. The Spirit of God is brooding over India and over many of these nations that are under the control of Hinduism and many false religious systems today. The Spirit of God is at work, brooding and working to bring them to that place that they will listen to the voice of the Lord. What's the Holy Spirit doing in this world? Well, Jesus said, John 16 and 17, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And we know that's exactly what happened, that Jesus ascended into heaven. And not many days later, the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost and continues down through the centuries to be poured out upon the hearts of people. The Spirit of God is at work today, 2018. And what is He doing? Well, He has come to reprove the world of sin. Whenever the Spirit of God broods over nations, what does He do? He awakens them to their need for God. He awakens them to their sinfulness and that they can't do anything about their sinfulness. Only Jesus can do that. Only the gospel is going to bring hope to them. So the Spirit of God is bringing conviction into our world. Please continue to pray. Please continue to seek the Lord day after day, week after week, because God is answering that prayer and He is sending conviction, making them aware that they need God, making them aware that they're in a lost and a sinful condition and that they need the Lord. And nothing can change them. What is He doing in the world today? He's sending conviction. He is convincing them of their sinfulness and of righteousness, it says. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father. Christ was the embodiment of truth. He was the embodiment of righteousness. There is no greater example of righteousness than Jesus Himself. And in the world, He is convincing men of their sin. And He is convincing them that if you want to be righteous, then you have to follow in His steps. You have to be like Jesus. You have to be like the Lord and live your life to please the Lord. Convinced of their sinfulness, He's convincing people of what real righteousness in is. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But when we come to the Lord, He's the one that cleanses us and washes us and gives to us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And He's convincing men of judgment to come. There is going to be this, everything that's happening in our world right now is going to come to an end. And every man, every woman will stand before God. We are racing very fast toward that judgment day. And the Holy Ghost is in this world today, reminding people, convincing them, you are going to come to an end of your life. You are going to face judgment. You are going to stand before God one of these days. It doesn't matter who dies or what the funeral is. There's been public funerals this week. Aretha Franklin, the singer, and John McCain, the senator. And it doesn't matter who they are. They have to deal with the topic of eternity and facing God. And they did, and they talked about it. It was discussed in the funerals about what happens. We do meet God when this life is over. And the Spirit of God is in the world convincing men that they need Jesus. They need help in their life. They can't live a righteous life without Him, and that they are going to face judgment. That is what the work of the Holy Spirit is in our world today. So what do? Well, we cooperate with Him. We do what He's doing. We get involved in the work of the Holy Spirit. We pray to see those things taking place. We pray for those that are lost. We pray for those that don't know God. We pray for the nations of the world that desperately need to know God. We take them all on our heart, and the Holy Spirit is going before us, working in their hearts and convicting them and dealing with them and preparing them to meet Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is at work in our world today. Amen. And that is the most important work that's going on this Labor Day weekend, the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it. I see it in the faces of people when I talk to them and I say, and I invite them to church. I see it in their face. I see their countenance. I know I need God. Some of them will even say it. Yeah, I know I need to go to church. Yes, I know I need God. I need that. And it's the Spirit of God that is dealing with them and speaking to their hearts. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. And even in this service today, the Spirit of God is working. He is hovering. He is brooding over this place. I don't know, but God knows what's going on in your life. He knows your heart. He knows where you are as far as your standing with God. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit that deals with us, that speaks to us. And even this very day, He is speaking to our hearts. Praise the Lord.